live on AsylumFantasyFootball.com and BTRFF.com. It's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Yes, welcome to the Asylum. We are AsylumFantasyFootball.com, and you can email us questions, trade things, comments, AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
Absolutely. On Twitter, the place to be, at Asylum Football, and at our radio affiliate, 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock, as Rick looks at me with disdain for stumbling over that one.
And you can pick up the Asylum Fantasy Football Show on WSRU Thursdays at noon and Saturdays, right before the pregame show for SRU football.
Absolutely. A full slate of football action, both NFL and college at WSRU, so check that out. So another big week, Rick, a crazy week. We're going to change up the format once again as we continue to experiment. Our numbers have been looking great. We want to start with that. Want to thank everybody. Things are way up, and we're listening to your feedback and trying to put the shows together how you'd like to see them.
Yeah, and we thank each and every one of you for literally just breaking our records right and left here.
Week after week.
Yeah, I mean, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Yeah, so what we're going to do this week, actually, Rick, I've had another incident. I have a story. Fortunately, before you get angry, it is fantasy football related. I'll give you that. We'll hit a few headlines, not a lot, just some injury news. And then we have a new segment where Rick is going to rant as the ornery old man of the group. He has some things he's angry about this week. We're going to let him rant a little bit. We're going to do a full disclosure. Now, to be honest, in the essence of full disclosure, the full disclosure is we want to highlight where we were right on Friday's show with our predictions. But we'll call ourselves out, too. And then, of course, we'll give out our game balls and our stinky socks, as we want to do on Tuesday. But, Rick, I'm going to hop right into my story. I told you it's fantasy football related, and I mean it. Now, this is the truth. This is my league, Rick. This isn't the league you play in me with. This is one a friend of mine and I started, I think it was 1999 or 2000. It was the first league I was ever in. We've had basically the same group of guys. They've come and gone a little bit over the years, but basically the same group of guys, close friends. We've been doing it for years. And this year we made the switch. We were on the CBS website for years and years and years. And it got really expensive. Any of you guys know it's really expensive. So,
yes, it is.
So we played a lot of leagues, Rick's League, a lot of leagues I'm on the NFL site, which I enjoy that site. It's definitely functional. So we switched to that. Well, we had two owners who weren't very happy about it. And another full disclosure, I'm the co-commissioner. My other friend, he's the actual commissioner. His name's Lumpy. That's what we call him. I don't know that that's relevant. I just think it's funny that 20 years later we still call this Jagaloon Lumpy, but if you saw him, you'd understand. So anyhow,
is his last name Rutherford?
Well, that's where he got his nickname, but that's another story for another day. I don't want to waste all your time on this. I want to get through this one. So for years, we've had trouble with these guys paying. So we put our foot down this year and said, look, if you haven't paid by week three, because I've come out of pocket to pay people out, and they don't get paid till February or March. You can't get anybody to pay. So I put my foot down and said, this year, if you haven't paid by week three, we're going to lock your team. Now, we still let them set their lineups to maintain the integrity of the league. However, no free agent moves, things like that.
I have one quick question. I hate to interrupt this fascinating story.
It'll get better. Trust me.
However, when we go, like, our draft, you know, the league, you say my league, whatever, but the one that I'm commissioner in, what happens at our draft?
Well, you pay before you draft.
You pay. You don't get it. If you do not pay me money, you do not get a draft book. You don't have a draft book. You don't draft. What is so difficult about that?
Well, our problem is over the years, we've sort of trying to keep the league all together. We're spread all around the country now. You know how that goes. So we got four or five guys live. You got the guy in Virginia. You got a guy out west. We got people spread out everywhere, and we sort of got lax with it, and it led to this mess. So anyhow, we had two guys in protest of switching sites. They weren't happy about the site switch. So in protest of that, they thought they weren't going to pay, figuring we wouldn't call them on this week three rule. So they didn't pay. My partner locked up their site, locked up their team on the site. So, and they continued to refuse to pay, so we didn't unlock it. Well, I went away this week. That's why we were pre-recorded. I come back. I got a call from my partner. He can't access our website. Here, one of these guys, they must be computer guys or somewhere. I don't know how they did it or if they just knew his email address and were able to retrieve his password. Hacked into our account, moved stuff all around, unlocked themselves, obviously, locked my partner and I out of our commissioner access, changed our passwords so we couldn't get back in. Here's what this guy did. This is unbelievable. So I'm dealing with this. We discovered this about 11 o'clock Sunday morning. So we're scrambling around trying to get it fixed. Of course, they're not answering their phone, any text messages or anything like that. So this is just unbelievable to actually hack in, you know, just really messing with the integrity of the league. Now, this Lumpy, the reason he comes back, and he's kind of a softy, and this is like his best friend in the whole wide world, so just wants to, you know, should we think about a fine or should we lock him out? I want to throw this guy out of the league, and I'm thinking you agree. I mean, this is have you ever dealt with anything like this?
No, I would never put up with it. I tell you what, the second that happened, I'm done.
Yeah, that's what
the league's done. Whatever money has been paid goes back, and you know what? I'm getting guys together, sort of like we've done, in, you know,
yeah,
this way.
I'm glad you said that,
and it just start over and get guys that are fantasy diehards, whether or not they're excellent at it or
who
not.
Cares,
you know,
about
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
So I'm glad you said that. That's my question. That's why I bring it. Number one, I think any fantasy owner can appreciate how angry I was that this actually happened. Number two. Okay, it's fine. Obviously, I'm going to throw him out. I'm going to win that fight. I have the commissioner access. I'll just delete him after this week. The only reason I didn't do it before the game Sunday, he's playing a guy in my division, and I needed that guy to have a loss. So I'm not as ethical as I'm making myself out to be here either. However, do I just throw him out and do we move on, or do I quit? Because my first thought is I'm out. I don't want anything to do with this. Do I quit? Then next year we'll put together another league with the four or five guys left in that league I can stand, and we'll get a few other guys in. I'm thinking I'm out. I don't want anything to do with it.
I think if you have a core of guys, whether it's, you know, two, three, four, even five, something like that, especially guys that you've known, get along with, and like to play it, that's who starts the next league.
Yeah.
Boom. These guys are gone. You
scratch
it, change the name of the league, and just start a whole new thing and bring in quality people like yours truly.
Yeah, there we go.
And there you have it.
Yeah, so I stay in for the remainder of the year. Do I like your idea. Do I shut the league down for the rest of the year and just give everybody their money back?
I would. I wouldn't sit around and play with these knuckleheads.
Yeah. Well, they're gone, you know, and then we're left with the decision, do I call our boy Jay Smooth the fantasy six man? Do I try to sell their team? Do we as commissioners run their teams? And that always puts you in an iffy situation doing that when you start talking trades in free agency and things like that. I'm really at a loss of what to do. I think this is so beyond the pale of anything within good taste. It's not funny. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the whole thing should just be torn down.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's just not worth it. And, you know, the whole idea of you quitting, you know, basically lets them win.
Yeah, you're right about that. My other problem, though, to shut it down, you know, I like that idea, and that's actually something I hadn't considered. Me, it doesn't hurt me so much. I was adding it up the other day between the live leagues I'm in, the leagues you and I are in together, and some of the opportunities we've had with the Draft Masters and with the Executive Experts League and some of these cool leagues we've been invited to join. I'm in 13 leagues, so to lose one is actually a benefit to me.
Sure it is.
I got some of these guys, this is their only league, to just shut it down because of one jerk. I don't know if I want to do that either.
Yeah, that's the only fly in the ointment right there. Some of these guys, they really look forward to having a good time with the league. And maybe that's somehow you separate yourself this year from it, run some of these other teams, and at least let them play.
Yeah, maybe that's what I do. I was thinking maybe I take my team that I currently run, turn it over. It's already paid for, and I'm not giving these guys their money back either after this stunt. You know, come and get it if you're listening right now. So I think one of them does. You know who you are. Maybe turning my team over to somebody like you, let you run the team I drafted. I'll take his team and run it, or vice versa. But I think for the commissioner to run somebody else's team, it puts yourself in a bad situation, puts yourself in a bad light. You really can't make any trades. You could make free agent moves, but to make trades and things like that, you're always going to be under a cloud of suspicion when you're doing that.
I guess this is one example where the old Jay Smooth up with a special offer here.
Yeah, and maybe that's something to talk about too, you know, if I get the other guys in the league to agree to pay for. I think that'd be a great idea. Let them manage it. That takes it all out. So at Fantasy Six Man, fantasysixman.com. If you are facing a similar situation, give them a call. And Jay Smooth, I may be giving you a call as well. So I'll quit whining about that. I just thought, I'll send you screenshots of the screen I got on NFL.com to prove this is true. This isn't something I made up to have anything to talk about. I
would hope not. We just killed 10 minutes
of
this.
I'm still stunned by this, though. I can't believe it. So let's move on. Enough about me and my leagues. Let's get into just a couple of headlines. At this time of the year, it's all injury news, and a lot of this will be better talked about Friday. But Cedric Benson goes down with that dreaded Liz Frank injury. That's a bad one. And for us, it sort of settles an argument that we've gotten a lot of run out of, and I'm really disappointed with that.
I am, too. I was really looking forward to the significant role that Ced was going to play in that Green Bay Packer offense. But, what are you going to do? I mean, I can guarantee you that probably Green will not get the workload that Benson was. And
Stark's getting back towards healthy. Yeah. I think you're looking at a committee situation there now. Now, Green didn't look bad. You know, in my point, I'm going to go back to it, even with said Ben, I don't know how much the running backs are going to run the ball in that Green Bay offense as it is. If you get into a committee situation, other than a real desperate place, if you're in a real desperate place with bye weeks, I don't think either one of these guys have any value.
No, I don't either. But like I said, it's very usable guy in at least in the Green Bay offense. I mean, he was somebody they could count on when they did.
Yeah, he was a
run.
Good third back, a good flex guy for me. He was maybe more of a low end two or an easy flex for you. I don't think we were that far apart. It was the role we were arguing about. But I think removing basically removes the Green Bay backfield from fantasy relevance whatsoever.
Yeah, that's true. And, kind of flashing back to the old Rashard Mendenhall injury, Ryan Williams out for the year with a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure exactly what happened, but I know Wisenhunt announced he's done.
Yeah, so Beanie Wells done there too. So more news to come on exactly who and how. And they've got a few guys in there. A guy I talked about in the preseason a little bit, I think on Twitter, I don't know if we ever got into him in the show, Lerod Stevens-Howling. You know, they moved him in the slot. I know he's been banged up. Talking about removing him out into the slot to play. This is a guy who could start having some sneaky value in a pinch. Now, don't get me wrong, and I don't know how this job's going to shake out, who's going to have it just yet. But in a pinch, I think Stevens-Howling might have a little value. Now he's going to get some more carries, good career at Pitt, good in goal line and limited carries anytime he's touched the ball in Arizona. Moving him out to the slot, a la C.J. Spiller. This guy could have some sneaky value. Maybe if you got a roster spot, which most of us don't this year, if you got one, maybe just somebody to stash and keep an eye on.
Yeah, if he gets back into the health, healthy a little bit, like you said, he's been banged up. Powell actually was pseudo-effective in that game, and news has it right now he'll probably take over the starting duties right now. How long he'll keep it if Howling does get healthy, it's hard to say.
Yeah, and you but have Carol, bit, Roberts, I don't know which of those two it's going to be. Or is it going to be Howling if he's healthy? We're not going to know.
Yeah, let's face it, right now Arizona's offense is spitting and sputtering, and they're not doing much anything.
Yeah, you might want to avoid them altogether outside of Larry Fitzgerald. We could probably make a pretty fair argument for, but there's a lot of guys desperate for any running back, just a body to plug into that RB2 slot. So, something to keep an eye on. And I think right now you got Powell, you got Roberts. I think Stevens-Howling's a guy I'm gonna stash on my bench. I actually own him in a couple of really deep leagues just in case. Maybe he'll pan out for me now.
Well, it's hard to say. We just have to keep an eye on they've got to start moving the football. There's no doubt about that.
It's bad. It's just scary bad. And that defense is so good, it seems like a shame to waste it on them. Sort of an opposite look at what their Super Bowl team a few years ago were with Kurt Warner. It was all offense, and they couldn't play a lick of defense. They've just turned it on its ear. I'd hazard a great defense this year amongst the teams they're being stacked up against, which is no offense to speak of.
Exactly. And, that brings us to, I don't think we have any more real significant injuries.
No, nothing.
A lot of guys banged up, questionable. Nick still banged up a little bit with his foot. Not sure what's good, his status is. But, we had an interesting trade question.
All right, now we're getting to the time of the year where I'll listen to these trade questions, too. We've gotten a lot since the draft, and now's the time that you start making moves, I think.
Yeah, and, we don't really have time to get a lot of them, but I just felt remiss not to bring this one up because this is a good one. And it's pretty significant deal. So if the guy wants to do it, he's probably going to do it this, get it done this week.
Okay.
He says, I'd get Fitzgerald and Chris Johnson for Ahmad Bradshaw and Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, boy. That's a – wow. That's tough. So he has Bradshaw and Bowe.
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yes, he does have Bradshaw and Bowe.
Looking at that trade, I like the Bradshaw and Bowe side to it. I see what he's getting at. Fitzgerald, a lot of upside, even on these bad games. I think he was 8 for 92 this week, still putting up his fantasy points. Just so little opportunity for him to find the end zone in that offense. Chris Johnson, what'd he do again this week? 15 carries, 24 yards after that one flash. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He's going to continue to do that. You're going to be forced to play him if you have him, because he's going to have three or four more games this year where he's going to go for a buck 20, a buck 30. He'll throw a buck 50 in there somewhere. It's just week to week. You saw what Bradshaw did, getting over 200 yards last week. That's amazing. After a fumble, to get 30 more carries plus 200 yards and with Tom Coughlin after what happened to David Wilson surprised me. He's always an injury concern. Bowe's an up-and-down kind of guy, but I feel more comfortable week in and week out with the Bradshaw-Bowe side.
Yeah, I like the Bradshaw-Bowe side, too. Look, you know, Dwayne Bowe, we've talked about it. He seems to be inconsistent, but, you know, he was competitive. We talk about it seems like the more out of hand the game is, the more garbage points he scrapes
and
up.
It was a tight game, and he was six for 60,
which is – certainly not wide receiver one numbers. However, it's not 14 carries for 24 yards or whatever the hell
exactly.
It was either.
Yeah, you know? It was 15 for 24.
Right, and so, yeah, you put him up against Fitzgerald, and let's face it, you know, Bo's not that far behind him.
No, they're close enough.
Bradshaw's head and shoulders over Johnson, and I'm really tired of Johnson, you know, the potential. I mean, we're going into week six, and... In fact, that's part of my rant, so I'm not getting into it.
All right, well, we don't want to go too far. I just popped into the chat room here, Rick. We got another question. We might as well answer it while we're doing questions. Would you trade McFadden or Ridley for Andre Johnson in a PPR? That's interesting.
Now, what was that again? Would I trade
McFadden or Ridley? So I'm thinking one or the other.
For Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson. So it looks like the runt his name is. I like that. The runt. He has McFadden and Ridley. Well, should he trade either one of those guys to pick up Andre Johnson?
No. And I'll tell you why. Because we've already hit on it a couple of different times. Just as high. And of course, I don't know what his line, you know, his lineup looks like. So
yeah.
I don't know how deep in either position he is. But as thin as it is at running back, I can't see giving up, you know,
that's his one and two.
Maybe he's
able to steal Ridley as his three. I don't know who his two would be if Ridley. What I mean in terms of drafted it as his three.
Exactly.
Clearly he's playing Ridley as his probably his one now. If you look at the thing, you know, the run says he needs a wide receiver. So, you know, when you look at those two guys with what Andre Johnson did. Now, granted, he was being covered by Rodgers Cromartie last night. The one catch for 15 yards, I think you can do better for those two guys, especially in a PPR. McFadden maintains his value a little bit, I think, because there was even that, what was it, week one he got shut down but caught 9 or 10 balls, or maybe it was even in the teens he caught. I'm not ready to give up on Darren McFadden quite yet. Ridley, I love, and I know – in one of your rants, I don't know if we're going to get to that one or not. You know, the fact that New England's committed to running the ball and Ridley continues to put up numbers, he's putting up running back one numbers. I know it's tough to find a reliable wide receiver out there. You could probably, for those guys, do better than Andre Johnson. He's just not that consistent this year. More to the point we've talked about, I believe you brought it up. Houston doesn't need to throw the ball, and they're really not going to. So, and Andre Johnson hadn't been banged up yet. When's he going to pull that hamstring or pull that groin that he does every year and finds himself questionable for seven straight weeks?
As I said, I mean, look at the last game. They're playing the New York Jets, and we all know about their potent offense. Arian Foster, 29 carries, 152 yards and a touchdown. I mean, you know, they're running it down their throats.
Yeah, that's all they do. So I don't mind you moving one of those guys. So let's give the runt somebody. Let's think about Rick. who would you trade? Let's use McFadden. I don't want to give up on Ridley. I'm buying all in on Ridley. Who do you got to get back to give away Darren McFadden? And I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, that is extremely difficult question. You know, we all know the potential at Andre
Brandon
Johnson
Marshall,
has.
I'd make that trade. I'd trade
Brandon Marshall, yeah, Brandon I'd bring Marshall. In Brandon Marshall.
I trade Ridley for Brandon Marshall.
Of course, you're
too.
Talking Brandon Marshall, in my mind, and I've been ranting about Brandon Marshall all year, he's top three.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah,
and I can't think of more than two guys maybe I'd want on my team more than him. You know,
he says Lloyd or Austin. I don't know if I'm comfortable giving up either. You got such good running back. I know McFadden hasn't performed, and I'm going to go down with Darren McFadden in a lot of leagues and on this show. I think he's going to come back. I think he's going to get it done and perform as an RB1. I think you're more in the Marshall, Fitzgerald,
Cruz
type of range. Cruz wouldn't be a bad deal. Maybe, I don't know where you are deeper in your roster. Maybe you put some guys together. Mike Wallace is down. Maybe you can get a package deal together with your third running back and somebody else and get a Mike Wallace back, who I think is going to come back as the season goes on. Percy Harvin, I consider for either one of those guys. You know,
Demaryius Thomas, maybe.
Yeah.
The way he's emerging with Manning. It's tough. You know, it's hard to give up. You know, first commandment of drafting, draft running backs early and often, and you hate to give these guys up.
Yeah, you're in a good running back situation. McFadden's underperformed. I don't want to see you move McFadden because you're not going to get enough for him because he's underperformed. I honestly do believe he's coming back. So you're looking at moving Ridley, and honestly, Ridley's probably worth a top 12 fantasy wide receiver at this point. Obviously, you're not going to get Calvin Johnson. Brandon Marshall may be a little steep. You're just gonna have to do better than Andre Johnson, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
All right. Well, that was it. We were just gonna hit that one question, Rick. Right. So let's jump into some full disclosure. I hope to get some sound effects prepared for that. Some sort of lead in next week. Now that if we decide this is gonna work and we like it, so let's give our full disclosure. Just some of the ones we really nailed, and maybe a couple we swung and missed on, and we'll try to defend ourselves.
Okay, let's go quarterback starts. Mr. Fleeger recommended starting Philip Rivers. And I think it was an excellent start, to be honest with you. Fantasy-wise, he's about 23 points. Certainly not huge Drew Brees numbers, but it was not bad start at all. And if you had him on your roster, he certainly didn't kill you.
No, absolutely. And speaking of quarterbacks and him, did we mention Andrew Luck at some point? I feel like I threw his name out there. I want to take credit for that big performance.
Well,
Andrew
we talked
Luck
about
had.
Andrew Luck. He just wasn't in one of the official start. But, you know, there's Philip Rivers, 27-42, 354, two touchdowns. He did have that one pick, but an excellent start. And I guess I'll have to defend mine. It was not much of a start. I did say that Big Ben was coming off the bye would be.
I believe he was my sit.
I believe I was talking, not looking for comments from you. He was right around 10 points. He didn't do, you know, he had like 204 yards passing. Look, it was a bad, bad fantasy outing.
What I
will take from that game was it was an excellent performance by Ben. I mean, you talk about a field general.
Yeah.
Got down in that position. Boom. The cool and calm went down, set up the field goal perfect. And, you know, I'll just take it at that. Okay. He's not. Wasn't a good fantasy start, but I was certainly impressed with his performance.
And I think the takeaway from that, why we want to bring that up to make it less about ourselves, is, you know, we've talked about Ben's been looked at as a low-end quarterback one. He's going to have a lot of weeks like this. This is the Steelers' offense. This is how Ben Roethlisberger is. If the game plan, if they need to go out there and fling it around, he'll do it, as you saw the first 3 weeks out of him where he put up some huge numbers. Other weeks he's going to have to manage. It's probably true for most quarterbacks, but I think it's really true for him. The reemergence of Rashard Mendenhall, we'll talk about him later, that changes things too. I think you're going to see his numbers dip. The weather's going to start getting bad in that awful stadium for weather. You know, you talk about weather and how it affects teams. it doesn't affect things like it used to, but in that stadium with the winds and with the field all torn up come middle of November right. after Pitt's played 10 games on it, high schools have played 6 games in one day on it, it gets tore up. It becomes less about throwing the ball for Ben Roethlisberger. So a guy you're going to want to pair up, you probably drafted him as a 2, you're probably going to want to play matchups with him for a little while.
And one thing I saw about Mendenhall coming back, just in my mind, how soon we forget, you know, being human. When he was out, well, you know, Redmond and them, you know, they're going to have a solid enough game. It'll be Dwyer, you know, running back guy. When he came in there, he looked good.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
so
he looked like Pittsburgh.
Looked better than I've ever seen.
He looked like Pittsburgh could really have a legitimate running attack, and I think they proved that. And we'll just have to see that. But let's move on here with the quarterback sits. Of course, you chose Ben, so
woo-hoo.
We won't have to cover that. You nailed that one. And mine, the reason I did bring him up because we were into the bye weeks, and maybe somebody had this guy stashed on the bench thinking to start him. I said, grab anybody other than Blaine Gabbert. He had minus 2.2 points, and I'll rest my case
there. Enough said about that.
And, I mean, I don't think we ever have to discuss him ever again.
Now, I want to jump to Rick. I'm going to step in here, and I don't know, remember exactly. Well, I know what I said, and I know what happened. Let's discuss your best friend in the whole wide world, Mr. Ryan Matthews.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that was on a fact or fiction. We're getting there, but we can jump ahead. I happen to have it here. All I have to do is find it. okay, yeah. You asked me, Ryan Matthews will have 80 yards and a touch. Okay, I said, no, I don't think he'll get quite that much. He had 80 yards and a touch. I mean, it was like my call of Cutler with 275 the week before.
Please hold your applause till the end of the show, if you will. So the reason I want to bring that up, other than the fact that I know you hate him. And
I don't hate him.
You hate him personally. I don't know what he did to you, how he's wronged you in some way. But I believe you called him an RB4 at one point on these very airwaves or these computer waves or whatever you call it on Blog Talk Radio. But the fact is he back? Is that one game enough? It's a bad Saints defense, I'm willing to grant.
Yeah.
He looked good, though. He looked like he
did
those first couple games of his career when we were all comparing him to LT.
And
he looked fast. He was running hard. He was running downhill. Where do you stand on
Matthews? I'll never compare him to LT until he can play 10 games in a row.
Well, that I agree
However,
with that.
He did look good. I'll give him that. And defending my, you know, RB4 numbers, the guy was hurt, and I was saying I wasn't going to draft him in any hopes of anything better. Yeah, I mean, right now he's looking good. If he can stay healthy, yeah, here's two. You know, I don't hate the guy.
I think you do, but
we don't care.
Another good one. Let's just give him a couple more. Man, we burned a half an hour already. It's going fast tonight.
Well,
we'll get
we're
into
giving all this significant information
there.
There
we go, significant fantasy advice.
Okay, what are we doing? Okay, running back starts. Shall I just say Briggs' recommendation of 30 carries, 200 yards, and I think Maude Bradshaw was the start of the week, I recommended.
I think you nailed that one. We'll give you that one.
And you had Frank Gore, which is another great start, about 20 points himself fantasy-wise. And, you know, I think he had about 106 yards and a touchdown and a great performance.
Yeah, it continues to look great. I love Frank Gore, a guy a lot of guys have given up on. We weren't so willing to do that. I love his role, his decreased role. His numbers are actually going up with his decreased role, not seeing 30, 40 touches a game. Think he's going to finish the year, say, for a freak injury. He's not going to wear out. I love Frank Gore in that offense.
Yes, indeed. And I definitely want to hit on our starts of the week for wide receivers because, you know, we were kind of reaching around. You took James Jones.
Yeah, happy with that one.
For Green Bay. And I just happened to take Devery Henderson.
Yeah.
So
I think the moral of the story is you better be listening to us. I didn't realize how good we actually were at this. I'm just making it up half the time.
Oh, sure. And, okay, here's an interesting one. I told you to sit, and I'm still not recommending him to start. However, he did show a little sign of life with Sidney Rice. He had the 5 catches, 67 yards, nothing spectacular. You know, if you're looking at it fantasy-wise, so what, you know, big deal. But it's probably his most significant output of the year, and I'm I don't know. Is he going to come around or not?
Number one, I don't trust any receiver in that Seattle offense because I don't trust Russell Wilson. I trust Marshawn Lynch, and he's about the only guy from a fantasy's perspective. A lot of guys talked about, we didn't a lot, I didn't really see, but a lot of guys talked about Doug Baldwin going into this year. I'll tell you what, that one was the freak one at the end of the game with the replacement rest on Monday night. Golden Tate's got 3 touchdowns in his last 3 games.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Am I starting either one of these guys? If I had to pick one in a desperation type of mode, wide receiver 3, or I'm in a bye week situation, I think I'm going with Sidney Rice. That's starting to look like the stat line he's going to put up. And so if you could count on that in a PPR league, you could get double-digit points as a wide receiver 3, as an emergency option. I don't hate him. And if I had to pick one, I don't know how much I buy into Golden Tate. I really don't. I know he's fine in the end zone. But probably Sidney Rice, I wouldn't count out on him as a receiver 2 or a flex like I would have a few years ago when he was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But he's probably worth having on your roster if you got a spot. He's probably better than some guys you have on your roster.
Yeah, especially going through the bye week.
Greg Little, somebody like that, for example.
Greg Little, who's had at least 2 goose eggs in 5 games. So.
And with a half the receiving core of Cleveland out, he has another bad game. And Brandon Whedon's averaging, I swear, 700 yards a game, and still Greg Little nowhere to be found.
Exactly. Yeah, we had a couple things just to hit on. Fact or fiction, Trent Richardson will hit 80 yards this week. You said no, he had 81.
81, looked good. Yeah. Great first drive, and I'd have liked to see what he would have put up if they hadn't got so far behind. Looked good against a good defense. I'm starting to really turn on Trent Richardson. I might have missed on him overall.
And I'm just really baffled, really, Cleveland's whole scheme sometime. I mean, they jumped on New York 14-0 in the first 5 or 7 minutes, something like that. And you know, then what happened? They the defense disappears, which is basically their only highlight in the last couple of years.
They remembered they're the Cleveland Browns. There's no other way to explain it other than that, since they've come back into the league.
Yeah. Okay. Another fact or fiction. You asked me, Cam Newton will have the same success as he's had the week before. I said no. He had 141 yards passing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Enough said on that one.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Cam. I really thought he was, I think we talked about it on Friday, I thought he was going to be back after that performance last week with what Steve Smith had done, and I thought it really would have turned him around. I think, I don't know if it's much of a Cam Newton issue. That team is just bad, and we'll get into that more when we give out our socks. I mean,
yeah, that's
bad.
True.
It's a bad team.
Yeah, it is, and I happen to have that in my rant.
All right.
Well,
Rick, why don't we jump right into it then? We're running out of time. Why don't you jump into your rants? Give us one.
I am ranting.
I know that.
Tell you, things are making me mad this
week. Well, it's your age. So why we want to do this, Rick's, 87 years old, and you know those guys are a little bit grumpy. So I want to hear him rant. There's some things that really made him mad this week. So I'm just going to sit back here and shut up, which isn't my nature, but I'm going to do it.
I'll tell you what, if I was 87, looked and act the way I do, for real, I'd be a millionaire because they want to know how could an 87-year-old guy look that good.
That's just not true. I legitimately thought you were 87. Are you saying you're younger than that? So let's go on, Rick. I know you're angry. I know you're mad. So let it out. Let's hear what made you mad this week.
I am mad. And there's three things that made me mad this week. Chris Johnson continuing to be a total waste of a first-round pick. And then, on top of that, claiming that he has made some plays, but someone needs to step up and be a spark. Does he not think, after being paid a very handsome sum after his holdout, that the Tennessee Titans might be looking to him as a spark? He's averaging a dismal 2.9 yards per carry, and nothing on the horizon appears to be the solution to that problem. Tennessee is void of fantasy starters, and that makes me mad.
Yeah, I agree with that, Rick. The big thing I don't like out of that, I don't want to see the superstar guy. You nailed it right there, actually. Again, as much as I hate to give you credit, you nailed it there. He is a superstar. To say somebody else has got to step up, no, you step up first. And, yeah, I couldn't agree more, and it bothers me, but I agree.
And that makes you mad.
That makes me mad, too, absolutely.
All right, the second thing that makes me mad is the utter collapse of the Buffalo Bills. Like last year, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller looked as if they could be both rushed for 1,000 yards this year. but both injured, and just as sure as the team's fortunes went down with Fred Jackson last year, they're playing just as ineptly this year, and that makes me mad.
Yeah, I agree. So much potential there. Fitzpatrick on a given week can go off for 350 and four touchdowns. At the same time, he can throw for 120 yards and four interceptions. The running game, I don't want to hold too much against this running game with these guys banged up and then coming back and going to San Francisco. I'm willing to be patient with Spiller and with Jackson to this point, but I agree. That team, the East down a little bit this year. Miami's a little better. New England's New England, but the Jets are awful this year. They got their doors blown off by the Jets. This team's got a lot of potential, and I don't think they're playing up to it.
And watching Fitzpatrick make some of those pass attempts was utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, it's getting hard to watch. It really is. And, you know, we've developed a soft spot for the Bills with all the feedback we got from the Bills Mafia, really rooting for that team. And to see this collapse, I can't imagine how they feel up there right now.
Exactly. You know, and the third thing that makes me mad is the entire attitude of the Carolina Panthers offense. They can't pass this year. They can't or won't run. Yeah, remember when D'Angelo Williams had 18 touchdowns? I believe it was 3 years ago. Seems like another century to me, and I can't hardly remember it. And Cam Newton better adopt a winning attitude instead of pouting on and off the field, and that makes me mad.
Of course it makes you mad. Everything makes you mad at your age. But, yeah, we were just talking about that team's just bad. I can offer no more analysis than that. That team is just bad. Rivera won't run the ball. An old defensive guy, you think he'd love to run the ball. You got a weapon like Steve Smith. You got a weapon like Cam Newton. No excuse to be that bad. I don't understand it. And, you know, none of these Carolina running backs are relevant. We were talking in the preseason about them having three relevant running backs with Williams, with Jonathan Stewart, although we knew he'd be hurt all the time. And here we go again with Tolbert on the goal line, with Cam Newton, a lot of weapons there, and none of them really panning out, save for Steve Smith, who's probably, you could be argued, is a reasonable low-end number one running or receiver, maybe a high-end two.
And he seems to be like the only guy on the offense that walks around with his head up.
Yeah.
And it's horrible to watch. At the press conference after that game, Cam Newton, you know, shut up. I mean,
what was that?
That was Cam Newton in the press conference.
Wow. I got nowhere to go with that. So.
I mean, well, we've talked about this before. I mean, you see Tom Brady, they've had games. Hey, obviously the team's not as bad as them, but yeah, Tom Brady goes out or Peyton Manning and they get whipped. They stand there at the podium, we're not happy with our performance. We're gonna, you know, get them next time. Whatever it is, you know, we're gonna, you know, make some adjustments. Not to play bad.
That's fantastic, Rick. I wish there was some way I could work that into the title of the episode, but that's the highlight. That actually did make you mad. That's not some radio bit you did. You're actually furious with them.
It is. It's infuriating to see that.
Well, remember the song. You know, this maybe go to the entire Carolina offense.
No, not
come on,
again.
One more time, Rick. Everybody loved it. So this was my message to D'Angelo Williams a couple of episodes ago. Now it goes to the entire Carolina offense.
That is disgusting.
Sorry, I just
had to throw it out there. That's the fourth thing that makes me mad.
Well, good, we got an extra one out of it. So for all you guys waiting for the Taylor Swift segment of the show this week, there it was. So let's move on, Rick. We've got what about? Oh my, we got 9 minutes or no? What do we got? 20 minutes left,
yeah.
Something like that. So let's get in. Let's just give out. No game order like last week, just some game balls, let's give them out, some stinky socks, let's give them out, and just while you're mad, let's keep talking, because awesome things come out of your mouth when you're mad.
Well, you know, we're giving out game balls. My first game ball, I'm going to have to give it to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And not only did he break the record, he you know, promptly goes out 370 yards, four touchdowns.
Again,
huge. And, you know, say what you want about the horrible Saints defense. Yeah, the offense is still fine.
Yeah, no question about it. Drew Brees plays awesome, puts up huge numbers. again, I feel like I'm a bad football fan, a bad fantasy guy for just not being blown away by this record that Drew Brees set. When Johnny Unitas said it, it was impressive. Now, I think they said Tom Brady was only 10 or 15 games behind him, so I think Brees is older. So I think you're going to see that get broken over and over again if the NFL stays in its current state. I'm going to give a game ball, Rick. I think it's you have to mention it. Reggie Wayne this week in an emotional game, as close as he is to Pagano, 13 catches, 212 and a touchdown. He couldn't be stopped. Some of those catches in traffic, that final touchdown that he did catch, the go-ahead touchdown, what he had to do to find the goal line. One of probably the most inspired performance I've seen since Brett Favre the night his father died on that Monday night game. The most inspired performance I've ever seen, and it was a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we touched about on Friday's show. The Colts were either going to play a real special game or racked with emotion, it would basically wear them out, and they wouldn't be able to keep up.
And what was cool, you saw them both the first half, I think, is what you're talking about now, and then the second half really rallied around their coach. Kudos to Bruce Arians for holding that all together and turning that thing around. Just a huge performance. Andrew Luck, fantastic. 362 and a touchdown for that young man. And Reggie Wayne, just a machine. There was nobody. Darrell Revis couldn't have stopped him on Sunday.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. That was a great performance. Okay, I'm going to give you another game ball, and it's going to have to go to Ahmad Bradshaw. You know, coming off, he's got sort of a neck injury already this year. We've been talking about, going to be in a committee situation. Look, Ahmad Bradshaw is the guy in New York until Tom Coughlin decides he's not going to be. You know, 30 carries, 200 yards, a touchdown. He had to fumble early, and boy, he made up with it.
Spades. So. Yeah, to get over 200 yards, you can never predict that. You did. He was your start of the week at running back. I don't think you were expecting 200 out of him, though.
No, I'd have been happy with 100.
Yeah, exactly. Sticking with game balls, if we're going to do those, I think a guy sort of gave him a hard time at the beginning of the year, had the drops. Marquise Colston, back-to-back huge weeks. This week, 9 for a 131 and 3 touchdowns. Just a massive week out of him.
Oh, and this guy, and you know how I feel about him. This is one of the first years I haven't had him on my squad, like even in our league. But, this guy is solid, and there's no doubt about it. And one thing I like about this team, that whole core has been together. Now, I know Meacham's gone, but, you know, they still have Moore, Colston, and Henderson. They've been there a while. Moore goes down a little bit. Henderson steps right in.
Huge day. No big deal. As Mike Tomlin likes to say here in Pittsburgh, next man up. That's all it was. Henderson was just the next man up. They didn't miss a beat.
No, they didn't at all.
So how about while you're still mad, we can get back to some game balls if we have time. Give away some stinky socks, somebody who made you mad, since the theme of the show is how angry you are today.
I got to give it to Cam Newton off the bat.
Do I need to get Taylor back out?
No. No, we don't want to do that. But I don't know. I don't know what to say about this guy.
Yeah.
I just think he's a bit overwhelmed right now, and he needs to have some sort of success, I guess, maybe to get his confidence back or something. I'm not sure what the problem is. I know Carolina's bad.
Yeah.
However, you know, as competitive as they were last year, essentially the same offense, and it seems like defenses are figuring him out a little bit. And I watched a little bit of that game. Well, the goal line. I don't know if you saw it or not.
Yeah, actually,
it was dismal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's running around. He doesn't have to do everything.
No.
You got D'Angelo Williams. You got John the Stewart. You got Mike Tolbert. You got Steve Smith, Brandon LaFell. Use these guys.
Yeah,
Greg Olson.
Absolutely.
I mean,
especially down around the goal line, you have some weapons there. So I think you sort of answered it there. The question, while you were talking, it's popping in my head. Just sophomore slump. Has the league figured him out? I've heard some people out there rant that, of course, the league's going to figure you out. That doesn't change anything. What do you think it is? Is it going to be a season-long thing? Is it going to be a career thing? If you had to guess now, I know you're not going to know. What do you chalk it up to?
Inexperience and, in my mind, almost the inability to accept he can't do it all.
Yeah. So something that could come with maturity then.
Exactly. I think he's going to be okay. But, obviously he's got the tools and the size and the speed, and he's no dummy.
Yeah.
But I just think, look, if you've been basically treated as a god through your college career, and I'm sure it was that way in high school and so forth, and you could do everything, you know, the Superman thing and all this, that, and the other, all of a sudden you're playing with Superman everywhere.
Yeah. And that's just it. What then? That's a difference, and I think it becomes a psyche thing.
Exactly.
What every guy in the league was that guy. Every defensive lineman probably played some sort of wing back in high school and ran for 240 yards a game. They were all everybody you're playing with was that guy.
Right.
At this point, everybody was a star in college. So maybe you're right. Maybe it's a simple mindset that probably could come with maturity.
I think it will, and if not, then I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah.
But that's what it seems to be. I mean, just his whole attitude and demeanor throughout. And I think that's what it is. And as his attitude, as the team's fortunes go, so seems to be his attitude.
Yeah, it needs to work the other way.
Exactly.
His attitude needs to change the fortunes of the team. So I'm going to give out a sock, Rick. I was going to use D'Angelo Williams and play the song again, but I'm afraid you'll throw your microphone at me and that'll ruin the entire show. A guy we love, a guy we've been high on, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, 9 carries for 14 yards, a really disappointing week out of him. Bernard Scott taking a lot of carries away from him.
Yeah, but not anymore, because Bernard Scott's got a knee injury. He's done, and the load's going to have to go on the law firm. And I don't know if that's such a bad thing. I'm not sure about that. If it has to rest on the guy, he's either going to have to perform or not.
Sinkers,
you know what I
mean?
Yeah,
exactly.
So, and I'm looking for Cincinnati maybe to bounce back a little bit. I'm not convinced about that offense yet. I was expecting more of Green Ellis, as we alluded to many times in the preseason. But he's first two or three games pretty good. Last couple have been pretty bad, so we'll see if they can right the ship a little
bit. Yeah, and they've been leaning heavier on A.J. Green, and why wouldn't he, as good as he's been? I'll tell you, this might be another scenario. As the weather turns, they start to focus more on the running game where they can. I think you can run on the Steelers this year. Most teams have proved that. I'm still not sure how well you can. Well, Jamal Charles ran pretty well on the Ravens. But some good defenses. But I'll tell you what, you don't think about Cincinnati. I've gone to a few Steeler games down there. That is the coldest place I've ever been. I was at a game a few years ago where my boots actually froze to the concrete in that place. I don't know if you remember that game. It was probably 10 years ago now. Cincinnati scored a late touchdown, or somebody, I think it was Cincinnati, come out for the extra point. The field was so frozen, the kicker fell down in the middle of the kick, makes the extra point, and the Steelers ended up winning, or it ended up going to overtime. I think the Steelers ultimately lost. But that weather gets nasty down there around along that river. So I think you're just going to see more of a focus on the running game with Bernard Scott out. I think Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is going to be okay.
Yeah, I do too. In Cincinnati, look, they just had a weird game. A.J. Green and Jermaine Gresham combined for 14 catches for a grand total of 125 yards. I mean, there just wasn't a whole lot there that game. The offense wasn't clicking too good. And
something to take from that Miami defense is good.
Yeah,
that's a good defense.
Yes,
that's a good Miami team. I'm impressed by them. As Tannehill gets better, Reggie Bush continues the resurgence of his career. That's a good Miami team and a real good Miami defense. They shut down Darren McFadden. They've shut down some good offensive players this year.
Yeah, and prior to the season starting, a lot of people had Miami as basically the only team below Cleveland.
Yeah,
and they're way above.
They're better than you
thought.
I mean, I don't think they're a playoff team yet. But
no,
with that
certainly
defense,
not,
the offense is coming around. That's a pretty good, better team than we expected, I should say.
Yeah, I agree. And while we're still on stinky socks, and while I'm still angry, Chris Johnson's going to get it. So
yeah.
A big old pair of them, you know.
Stinky socks you're talking about, right?
Yeah, big old pair of stinky socks. That's terrible.
Yeah, again, 15 carries, 24 yards. You already ran it about him, blaming it on everybody else but himself. It's not his fault, so hard to argue with that. I'm going to give one more. It doesn't have anything to do with fantasy football, but Chiefs fans cheering the injury to Matt Cassel. Just a classless thing. Up for a lot of years as a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, I keep going back to that. I try to avoid that. I had some quarterbacks I'd have liked to have cheered here in Pittsburgh when they got injured. Just a classless move. You don't do it. Castle, I know they're struggling. I know Castle's struggling. But if you're excited for Brady Quinn, enjoy the rest of your season. Go right ahead.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't condone or, and I certainly don't cheer for anyone getting injured. That's just, like you said, it's classless. And, you know, do you actually think Brady Quinn is going to save your season?
Yeah, if that's what you're looking forward to, enjoy it. Have good luck with all of that is all I can tell you.
Exactly.
Let's get back on the positive side, Rick. We want to leave everybody with a good all taste right. in their mouth. And let's do some more game balls. Who else made you happy? Who gave you that warm and fuzzy feeling this week?
I tell you, one person that really hit to me says, okay, he's back. You know, it's not just the three kings of quarterbacks. There's four of us now, and it's Peyton Manning. You know, yeah, they lost, but I also saw like about a 65-yard pass that Demaryius Thomas had get knocked out of his hands. New England recovered that. A perfect pass right to McGahee right off his fingertips that could have went for a big gain. You know, he fumbles inside the red zone. That game was far from over, and it certainly wasn't paid. You know, I really got tired of the, you know, Brady best Manning again.
Yeah.
I don't really – it wasn't so much that Manning was bested, but he was let down a little bit by his defense and some of the players on his offense.
Yeah, no question about it. I agreed. Peyton Manning looking good. He is back. And he's only going to get better, I think, as he gets more comfortable with the team. The team gets more comfortable with him, the timing of a Peyton Manning-led offense. Game ball to me, Rick, we touched on him briefly earlier. Rashard Mendenhall, first game back after an extended absence, 14 carries, 81 yards and a touchdown, plus two catches for 20 yards. Huge role in that Steelers offense and makes a big difference for that Steelers team.
Yeah, like we hit on it before. It really impressed me how good he did look and how much better than the other guys he is.
Yeah, a huge step up. We talked so much about Dwyer and Redmond. And fantasy-wise, Mendenhall's always been a disappointment. I probably could continue to be. This may be sort of top end for Rashard Mendenhall, but in terms of an NFL running back and the difference he made in that offense, a big game where he was needed coming out after a long absence.
He could be one of these guys made especially for a Todd Haley offense. They started him out of that backfield that Arians never did. And like you said, he made a living in college catching passes, and he's certainly fast enough for it.
Yeah.
Redmond just hasn't seemed to pick up the slack. And, you know, that threat out of the backfield, you can see where they've missed Mueldy more, in that slot. But, you know, with Haley there, I Mendenhall's liable to pick it up. He could be a surprise, happy surprise as far as fantasy scoring.
Yeah, no question about it. And I agree. Hey, Arian never wanted to throw to the back. Again, like we talked about with Mendenhall, that is his specialty. So I'll be curious to see as the week's going. For all you guys that have drafted him and stashed him for 4 weeks, I think he's going to pay off in spades for you now.
Yeah, indeed. There's no doubt about that. So are we going more game balls?
Yeah, let's go a couple more. We got 7 minutes left, so that's a couple more game balls. Maybe ended on a stinky sock since the theme of the show has been negativity.
Anger
and negativity.
I tell you what, quietly, forgotten in a lot of these shows in conversation, I'm going to have to give a game ball to Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
He just goes out there, they're undefeated, another 345-yard performance, two touchdowns. He did have a pick, but, he's still one of the leaders in passing yards, quarterback rating. The guy is just playing phenomenal.
It's become standard for him, 320 to 350 yards. And you're right. And why aren't we talking about him up there with Aaron Rodgers and with some of these guys? This is a guy you drafted. I remember you were furious with me in one of the leagues, and I believe the Icon Experts League, drafted him in the sixth round. You talk about a sixth-round steal now.
And, yeah.
You know, he steadily moved up. He
right.
went into the offseason. We had him on a tier with Cutler and Roethlisberger and those guys. He started to creep up in the offseason, became a fourth and fifth round guy at late draft times when you should be drafting. But a guy you pretty much stole after the big three, the holy, what'd you call them, the three kings.
Yeah.
They all went in the first round. You picked up this guy at the end of the third, middle part of the fourth, a huge value for everyone and putting up number one numbers by far.
Yeah. He is. He's really stepping it up. And, of course, you know, that team's good. And they got the old man, the future Hall of Famer, Tony Gonzalez, having a career year.
Yeah, and a huge game last week. It's just an ageless one. He just doesn't give up. So, Rick, I'm going to give this the last game ball, and we'll go back to some socks, a big old pair of them, as you said. I think the highlight of the show without question. But a guy you've been – we talked about him already, a guy you've been high on all offseason, a guy you take a lot of personal pride in, Brandon Marshall does it again, 12 for a buck 44 and a touchdown.
Oh, I tell you, yeah, I've got my thumbs hooked in my lapel on that, you know, prognosticating.
Wait a minute,
way
you,
back.
Hold on. You have your what in your what now? Your thumbs
my
in your
lapel? My thumbs in my lapel.
And what do those signify? Why are you putting your thumbs in your lapel?
You've never seen
no,
like...
No, well, why do you have a lapel? This
really,
isn't a formal
I
show.
I really don't. Yeah. You've never seen the old duck.
You have your thumbs in your lapel. Now I got to change the name of the show again.
I mean, there's people that have seen, like, the old W.C. Fields things, you know.
The who, what it's now? Like, what
come
field?
On, help me out in the chat room. Come on, Dave. I know you're there, man.
Did you just call Dave old? Is that what you just did? I don't think he's that old. Check out Dave's show tonight. The, I'm sorry, I can't pull it together. You got your thumb in your lapel. There with it. 56 minutes if you had that on your scorecard
well,
when the show went off the rails.
I'm proud of the prognosticating about Brandon Marshall. So that was
God.
A great game. I think we better end it with a stinky sock.
There's 2 minutes of laughter going on in this studio.
Yeah, old buddy Dave. He's damn near that old. He told us that. There we go. All right. Now we're
All right. Let's work back, Rick. Give us a stinky sock. Let's try and pull this thing back together.
Oh,
we've got
man,
3 minutes left, so quick hitters.
I don't know if I can pull it together, but I'll give one final stinky sock. And, boy, I tell you, I'm going to have to give it to Willis McGahee.
Yeah, terrible game.
It's just
out of him.
A horrible
such
game.
A big surprise. You're
and
right.
You could arguably say that he cost him that game, or at least a real shot at tying that game.
Yeah, you're probably right. It fumbling the ball, dropped an easy pass at one point coming out of the backfield. Yeah, they were way behind and came back. I'm not sure that game was as close as the score indicated, but disappointing. He had a huge year, a guy we were really high on, so hate to see it. Definitely disappointed. I agree with that. I'm going to end it. We already talked about this guy. Hate to bring it up again, but I'm doing it for a reason, and you know why I'm doing it. You know how this show is going to end. But D'Angelo Williams, 6 carries. 6 yards and a fumble, negative points. Here's a guy I stashed as an RB4 for bye weeks. I had a lot of bye weeks.
I believe you started
week.
Him in a couple of leagues.
I did. That's my point. I was forced to start him, stashed him. Thought he'd be good even in down times for 8 to 10 points in a bye week situation. I'm really disappointed with the 6 carries, more disappointed with the 6 yards on those 6 carries and the fumble, putting him into the negative numbers in fantasy football. You know how I feel about him.
Well, thank God you didn't have Blaine Gabbert, too.
Yeah, what a week that would have been. So, Rick, we got about 2 minutes left, so we'll go through. Back right at it Friday, how we're normally going to be. We will be live at 8 o'clock. You will be able to rehear that show on WSRU 88.1 FM, The Voice of the Rock, before the Slippery Rock game. We'll get you the game information and the times for that on Friday. And I just wanted to say, I want to take 30 seconds, Rick, again. I know I said at the top of the show, this show has gone way beyond what we ever thought it was going to be, and really appreciate all the feedback and everybody checking it out week after week. And it seems like we got hundreds new every week, and I'm blown away by it. And just I hate to be sappy and waste your time talking about that, but I am so blown away. And believe me, it's not us. You hear us two clowns talking about our thumbs and our lapels. This is all on you guys and everybody supporting us and spreading the word, and we really appreciate it.
Yes, we do. We talk about this a lot off the air, too, that's for sure, you know, when we're, you know, planning things and talk about certain things, you know, what we're going to be doing. It's just, like, amazing to us. We appreciate everything. And you know what? Keep it going. Pound us the questions, you know, silentfootball@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And, we love insulting the chat room, too.
Yeah, we do that. You did call the chat somebody in the chat room old, so... So get your questions out. We won't insult you on Twitter, at Asylum Football. We'll answer all your questions. That's become our rule. We're going to do it while we can still keep up with it.
And that is one thing. It is getting increasingly difficult to keep up with, but we appreciate it.
We're
going to
keep trying. All your emails, asylumfootball@gmail.com. Hit us up, asylumfantasyfootball.com. Keep those numbers up. 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the Rock. Thank you, guys. We will be back Friday.
Take care.
Ugh.
Ever. I'm really gonna miss you picking fights and me falling for it, screaming that I'm right, and you would hide away and find your peace of mind with some indie record that's much cooler than mine.